It's Friday. You want to blow off some steam? This is the podcast to do it with. We had some good rants right out the beginning that you're just going to have to discover for yourself. Also, the impossible burger. It's not so impossible. Bill O'Reilly goes over the chances of Biden's winning China and Ukraine, the border. Also, we had a big announcement today, something that we're all doing together with Bill O'Reilly. And the exciting things that technology is bringing us. And we have a choice. We are either going to go back to 1956 Russia, or we're going to be America at our very best. Also, Dan Andros from FaithWire on the situation with the abortion protest in Pennsylvania. That's all on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Could you hang on just a sec? I'm sorry. It's for Mother's Day, the offer ends soon. Why do I have to take this phone call? I'm so sorry. I appreciate.
We could finish the commercial, but I mean, if we could just get to it when you.
Why would I start the? Fred, hello, Fred.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Beck.
Yes, Fred.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Oh, wow, I'm a huge fan of yours. Thank you so much for having me on. My name's Fred McCostraff. I am the head of right-wing outreach for the Democratic Party. And I just wanted to, I am really excited about this crop of candidates, and I just wanted to tell you about some of them.
Okay.
I'm a lifelong Republican. I am in the boat with you. I have always voted Republican every single election since I was a child.
Right.
But this time I've changed, and I just want to be able to come on the show and tell you just a little bit about some of our exciting candidates for 2020. You're going to love them.
Okay.
I think your audience is going to be very excited.
Okay, I highly doubt that, but...
Let me tell you about one candidate. You may have heard of her, Elizabeth Warren. Now, I think your audience is going to be very excited about what she's bringing to the table.
I don't...
She's got a lot of pro-business policies. And I know we're very pro-business.
Yes.
It's one of the things that we are.
I have a feeling that you've never voted for a Republican in your life.
Hold on one second. Let me tell you about what is going to happen in 2020. Okay, first of all, she's got this great business, pro-business policy. And you've heard about her wealth tax, which has been very misrepresented, and we can get into that another time.
Right.
She's coming out with here in the next couple of weeks. I think you guys are going to love it as Republicans, and as we are all Republicans.
Yeah, I don't think you, Fred, you're not a Republican.
And so it's called a breath tax. Now, the breath tax works like this. It's very interesting.
Hold on,
really going to love this.
Hold on just a second. A breath tax.
Yes, it's very simple, very easy to implement. Basically, what would happen is when you inhale, 3% of your salary goes to the government.
Right.
But hold on, let me get to the pro-business part.
Right.
When you exhale, only 2% of your salary would go to the government. So a total of 5%, but 3% in. So if you hold your breath, the longer you hold your breath, the less taxes you pay. I mean, this is an exciting proposal.
I think you guys
are going to love it. And it's going to create lots of jobs.
How is that going to create any jobs?
It's going to be fantastic.
Every time. It's not like, so does that add up? Is it like the second breath is another 5%?
Well, it would work that way. So you'd add on the first, it's unimportant. That's down in the future. We'll deal with the second breath when we get there.
Okay.
But what I think you're really going to love about this policy, Glenn, and as a Republican, I think we'll agree on this one.
I'm not a Republican, and I don't think you are.
Do you care about jobs? Because I know I care about jobs. That's why I changed to the Democratic Party very recently. I've been a lifelong Republican.
Right.
But when I changed over to the Democratic Party, one thing I found was interesting about this breath tax is it creates jobs.
How does it create? How does it create jobs?
So this will create or save 1.5 billion jobs.
Wait a minute. It will create or save
1.5 billion.
Haven't heard that one for a while.
It's amazing. And what it's going to do is you're going to have people who are going to go around with mobile oxygen monitors. And what you'll be going to work. Let's say you're going to work.
Yeah.
And you'll have a person riding with you in your car with a mobile oxygen monitor.
Right.
And they will be just putting a very unintrusive large plastic mask over your face. Just monitor.
Now wait, this sounds like something I don't want in my life.
Really?
So a stranger driving with me to work, while I'm driving, they're putting a large mask over my...
Most of it's clear, though. You're going to be able to see most of the road. I mean, this is not... It's going to be very unintrusive.
Right.
You don't like that. But it's not our only policy, I'll say
right,
that.
Okay.
Not
all right.
The only one. I know we hate immigrants, for example.
No,
as
we...
right-wingers, wow, do I hate the immigrants.
No, we don't
despise
hate...
Despise them. Right?
No, we don't.
We hate immigrants.
No, we don't hate immigrants.
What are these people? They're different colors. We don't want them here.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
Okay, you're with me on this one,
no,
I know, because we're all Republicans here.
Right.
And I think your audience is going to be very excited about Elizabeth Warren. Who's more anti-immigrant than a Native American? I mean, it was their land. She doesn't want anyone coming here at all. She doesn't like black people, orange people, white people. She doesn't like any of them.
No,
she's hates the immigrants more than someone who had basically their entire race wiped out and put onto casinos or whatever, right?
No, that's
so
not
I know
what
you're with me on this. No, one, because you're a Republican.
No,
and
I'm
a Republican.
Not with you on this.
And you know, a lot of people are saying, "Oh, Elizabeth Warren, she can't be for a strong border." Because she's not wanting to build the wall. Well, have you asked her what her policy is? I think a lot of Republicans would be interesting. She wants to drape smallpox blankets across the border. She's got throw blankets. Right. She's already infected them with smallpox. She wants them on the border. You are going to love
this. Does she?
Oh, she hates the immigrants, Glenn. You're going to love this woman. Elizabeth Warren hates immigrants, loves breath taxing.
Okay. Thank you very much, Fred. I appreciate it. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why I took that phone call.
It's interesting they're trying to bring both sides together.
They really are.
Yeah.
They really are. And they know us. They've spent the time to get to know us.
Yeah. I think that's a nice thing.
It really is. It really is.
I don't know. It could be winning over votes right now. I think the Trump administration's a little terrified of that.
Well, the smallpox blanket screen, it's cheaper.
It's definitely a lot less expensive.
Yeah.
You need to run wires over a long distance.
But like clothesline.
Yeah. It could just be easily like rope.
We could get when they have like conventions and stuff, just like that drape and piping.
Yeah, right.
Except it's just smallpox nice. Blankets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never thought Elizabeth Warren would be the one that would come up with that, but...
Pretty exciting time for Republicans.
Yeah.
Like that guy.
Yeah.
Like Fred.
Welcome to Friday. We've got a great show for you today. Yes, today. I mean, we have a show for you today. A great show for you. It'll probably be scheduled in at some point. But today we have a show for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're pretty thrilled about it. Bill O'Reilly is going to be with us in just a few minutes. And we have kind of a cool, really cool announcement. One that I really thought, he's not going to do that. And I called him up and he was like, yeah. And so we have a cool, really cool announcement with Bill O'Reilly coming up in just about 45 minutes.
Today's the Uber, the big IPO coming out here in the near future. There's a story out about some of these investments on these... on these startups,
mm-hmm.
which is somewhat impressive. It's like these type of investments that you just never—they never come around to you, you know. So, this is someone invested. This is First Round Capital invested $500,000 in Uber back in the day. Their return so far $2.5 billion.
Oh, holy cow!
Did you love that? Listen,
I would love it more if it was would have been the guy. Yeah,
right. That was in 2010. So the return on the investment, it is over a 9-year period. So you have to take that into account.
Oh my god,
$500,000 into $2.5 billion.
See, this is the kind of lottery I want to win.
Yes,
you know, going to the lottery and just doing a scratch ticket. It's not. I would want to win the lottery where you've invested, you know, $1,000 and it's worth $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, and you've built something at the same time.
Right. And it kind of, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it doesn't feel.
But I guess that's what the lottery is, because we're building this great education system
all
around the country.
It's amazing.
You
isn't
know, it
really
so
is working so well.
Because I think, wow, we've invested how much through the lottery in education, and look how good it is.
Mm.
So we could have built something like Uber, but no. Education in the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, too, where you don't get the respect if you win the lottery. Winning the lottery is basically people look at you and they're like, oh, that dope lucked out and now they got all this money and it pisses me off. When you invest some money into a company, which is just as much a crapshoot as the lottery, basically.
It is.
So many of these things shut down. Then you're like, wow, that guy's a business genius. I mean, he didn't come up with the idea or do any of the work on it, but he put his money into it very early.
I would love one of these guys to come out, like, you know, in a bathrobe and slippers and pull up in a big, like, you know, Winnebago.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm just here to collect my $1 billion. Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew?
There's some money at it, and it worked. Here's some other ones. A $750,000 investment in Lyft, worth now $240 million. Not bad.
Mm.
Not quite the Uber return.
Not the billion. You're supposed to do this the other way, because that would have seemed really wow.
I know. Well, I'm getting there. We have a $9 million LinkedIn investment, $1.3 billion.
I want that person dead.
Yeah,
I don't know who it is. I want that person dead. Okay, so I don't even know. Somebody signed me up for LinkedIn years ago, and then I can't stop LinkedIn. You just can't stop it. You can't stop it. Then about, I don't know, 6 months ago, I was like, I give up. Fine, join.
Oh,
I don't care. Go.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh, don't ever do that. Don't ever do that.
Are you getting just constantly berated?
If you don't get an email from me, if you're my wife, honey, could you answer my email? I can't find it anymore. I don't know. I got a LinkedIn. That's all I got. Hey, I want to join your network. I don't have a network. I don't have a network. I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't want it anymore. Please.
And it's one thing with LinkedIn, because it's activity. Like, people are asking you to come. Hey, can you be part of my network? I swear, though, it feels like they reach out on your behalf to others as well. So they're constantly saying, and they're just persistent in trying to make you do additional things.
Yeah, they're like, hey, did you know somebody just had a job promotion? You should tell them something.
You
should tell them something. And here's four suggestions. And you're like, I don't, okay, that one. Hey, great on whatever you did. Like, you send it, and they're like, I got one of those too about you.
Right.
You didn't even put any thought into it. You're like, right, I know. I'm trapped in LinkedIn hell.
Okay, $8.1 million in Snap got to $1.5 billion. $250,000 in Pinterest returned $399 million. How about $11.8 million in Google Kleiner Perkins in 1999, $4.8 billion. And then $14.8 million in Facebook, now worth $5.7 billion. I mean, $5.7 billion. And again, this is, you get the respect of being smart out of that.
But my father-in-law, he bought all the Beanie Babies.
Oh, when yeah. those things turn
those
around.
Those things
oh,
turn
yeah.
around, man. I am sitting on an inheritance like you will not believe. Okay, so a couple things happened to me last night. One, I had the greatest night ever, because I had the opportunity to lie to two family members and each of them thought that they were in on it. We went to the kids' school, and Cheyenne and Tanya both got an award. She got a service award, and I don't know. Cheyenne got I bribed the teacher with my smiles award. I don't know what that. But anyway, mm-hmm. So Cheyenne knew about Mom's award, and Mom knew about Cheyenne's award. I knew about both. And so I was telling them, I was telling them both a lie. I'm like, okay, all right. Cheyenne might know if I say I'm coming, because then she might know, oh, maybe I've got some sort of, you know, scholastic award or something. And so I'm going to tell her that I'm not coming. Okay. So then when I show up, it'll be too late. She won't even think of it. She'll be like, oh, Dad's here. Great. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I told my my daughter, listen, Mom's getting an award, but she can't know. So I need you to go and you just be with Mom. And I'm going to tell Mom I'm not coming. So then when I show up, so both of them thought they were in on this scam of me showing up.
And you were, in a way, you're saying lie, and what a strong word that is. Really, you told the individual truth to both of them.
Yes, I did. It was great. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
So were they surprised?
Yeah, they were both surprised. That's cool. And it was really great. It was better than last year. My son won the Christ-like
public school.
Yeah, no. What was it, like the Christ-like award or something for the, what was it? Yeah, most Christ-like award, something like that. And I've never been more embarrassed in my life, okay? He did not know he was going to win, but he had dressed up as if it was like going to be a, you know, an Academy Award. And he goes to a school that has the word Academy in it, mm-hmm. okay? And so when they announced the Christ-like award, which, and his name, he stood up like it was the Academy Awards, and he was like, yes, yes, thank you. And then he gets up. Nobody gives speeches, nothing. He gets up. He kind of nudges the teacher out of the way, and he said, I'd just like to thank the Academy for this award. And he was like, and I was just in the back sweating, going, oh, my gosh. No, it's the Christ-like award, son.
He's awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
I love how I like how he kind of puts you in awkward positions, because this is your specialty and has been your specialty for decades with your children.
Yeah.
Of putting them in the most awkward positions possible.
Yes, yes. And now they're doing it to me. He is insistent on talking to you, by the way.
Oh, really?
He wants to do jokes with Rafe. He's like, Dad, there'll be 20 seconds. Just 20 seconds. They're just bad jokes with Rafe, and you just drop them in, and they'll be incredibly embarrassing for you. And I'm like, I don't.
Approved. No, I mean, he doesn't need to talk to me at all. Just bring it in, Rafe.
Right. Okay. So anyway, so that was the first thing. Then I'm so happy. I'm going out to dinner with my family. Two award winners. The Academy has recognized them.
Yes.
And we have dinner, and my wife says, "Tell me about the vegan burger." Now, my daughter, my other daughter, mm-hmm. my second oldest, Hannah, she has decided to go all vegan.
Oh, yeah.
And now I see my wife say, tell me about the vegan burger. I said, it stops here. It stops here right now. Stop it. Oh, stop it.
It doesn't stop here. We're escalating it. We, as you know, there's this vegan burger called the Impossible Burger that people say tastes just like the meat.
Impossible.
That's why they call it that.
Yes,
well, there's
impossible.
A shortage going. However, we have secured some for you and Pat to taste test.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, it's Glenn. If you're a subscriber to the podcast, can you do us a favor and rate us on iTunes? If you're not a subscriber, become one today and listen on your own time. You can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks. Welcome to the program. Hello, Pat.
Hi, Glenn.
How are you?
Oh, I'm great.
I mean, you've got to be great with two hamburgers in
right?
front of you.
Yes.
Right?
I'm a little nervous, though. One of them's not a real hamburger.
I know. So here's the thing. my daughter has gone vegan, and I don't
so
like it
So is my wife. I hate it.
Oh, really?
My wife is starting to go vegan, too. Yeah. I hate
Jackie's almost completely vegan. She just won't. I'm
not interested anymore.
Oh, shut up.
Okay, it's time to leave.
I didn't marry you.
Right?
With this in the butt. Okay,
yeah.
First of all,
this
never
part of the deal.
I never said to anyone in my entire life, I know what I want to be married to, a 50-year-old woman. Never said that. Never, ever. And now vegan.
Right.
It's done. It's over. I'm out.
I know.
This is just pleasure
it's
for me.
Crazy.
Pure pleasure to watch this happen
every
to you.
Every night, she just is just vegetable garbage.
So I'm going to. So we're going to New York for a week or two, and I'm going to be working. And my daughter was like, "I'll cook," and I'm like, "Oh, that would be no, wait." And she's like, "Yes, I'm going to cook." Wait, that means nothing. She won't, nothing animal. Hmm. Nothing animal.
Wow. When did that start?
She started it started creeping in maybe 2 years ago.
Hmm.
And Tim was really unhealthy, and he's starting to look like me. And all of a sudden.
I don't remember that era, do you? By any chance, Pat? Because I see Tim every day, and I don't remember this era.
I don't remember the era.
Oh, no, he was like.
He looked like Glenn. No,
he looked like, what's his name from the Santa Claus? I mean, it was like.
Tim Allen?
Yeah, it was bad. Anyway, so they just started eating healthy, and then I knew it. I said to Tim, don't do it, man. She's starting to eat healthy.
Yeah.
You know where this leads.
But you got to understand your daughter. Like when vegans look at your daughter, they're like, look at that crazy left winger over there. Like they think she's not a left winger, but she is way further than vegan. Right. Like she is to the point of like,
no, she's one of these
composting and like, she's like all the way there.
Yeah. But not to
at
the
least
weird
she's living
part.
It, right. I mean,
yeah,
like
she's living
how often
it.
Do
and
we
she
see
does
this
it.
From
what I really like. She never lectures anybody.
Yeah.
She's just living it. And she's like, you know, Dad, you don't have to, you know, it's my, but we go out to dinner and she will bring her own, you know, her own little, you know, Tupperware stuff or whatever she's
that's
got.
That's impressive.
Yeah, she lives it.
Huh. Wow.
Well, yeah. Living it is becoming easier as someone who has to deal with this every day, especially in Texas where I think the most vegan thing you can have is like ribs with less lard than normal included. Like that's
vegan
the vegetarian way to live.
Vegan is we've taken the eyes off it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we took the head off.
Yeah. There you go. So there's this thing called the Impossible Burger. There's a shortage nationwide right now of these things. And they're one of these. There's two main companies doing this, trying to basically make a plant-based burger that and other sorts of meats.
Okay, so this is not like better living through pharmaceuticals.
No,
this is not Dow.
No.
This is they take the enzyme of a pea or
something?
Yeah,
they found the specific thing that makes meat taste like meat, basically. And it's
then how come peas don't taste like meat?
Because there's a very small amount of maybe. I don't know exactly.
Okay.
They are experts at this and I am not. However, they basically put that in as part of these things. And if you kind of look, if you take a quick glance, right, you'll look and they do look like a normal burger.
Yeah, it does not
look normal.
Like,
yeah.
So there's two standards here. I'd like to, because we have an A and B taste test. One is a real burger. One is an impossible burger. We got them from Hop Dottie, which is a Texas restaurant, which I got them last night. So they're kind of reheated, and that's going to hurt it maybe a little bit.
Yeah, that's going to mess with it.
So there's two standards here quickly.
Yeah.
One,
is the look.
Is it edible? Do you like it? Would it taste good? Two, you know, can you tell the difference? I think you're going to be able to tell the difference maybe, but I would like to see if you just think it tastes pretty good.
I was going to say I knew which one was beef just by looking at them. And then I looked at both of them, and they look
pretty similar.
Exactly the same.
Yeah. So I'm going to try it.
All right. Pat,
I think I want to go on record. I think B, just by the look of it, is the fake burger.
Okay.
Okay.
Hmm.
We're both trying.
Really?
I'm trying
A.
So A definitely tastes like meat.
Okay. I got to take some of this.
They got some. Glenn's getting rid of the evil vegetables that have been placed on his burger.
Mm-hmm. That's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the vegetables are wrong. Not getting rid of them.
I mean, they grow in the ground.
That's nasty.
Ew.
I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I would say A is a burger.
I would say
right?
A is a.
That's meat.
Is meat. It's not.
Unless I haven't gotten to the aftertaste yet. That might be the telling hint. is there an aftertaste?
I would say that's A is a, and it's, this isn't fair because it tastes like a bad reheated burger.
It is. Yeah. It's a good reheated burger. I mean, Pop Daddy is a good place, but we did have to buy them. I couldn't find a place that would. That made them for breakfast, sadly. Yeah. So we are look, we haven't reached peak capitalism yet.
Yeah, you know, when we are in Texas and they won't
make us
when we have a location in this building, then we're into something.
All right, so now I'm going to try B.
The big worst part about this too is I couldn't bring the queso fries.
Mm.
Oh, that's
B is a fake burger.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I agree. It's not bad though.
No.
Does it taste like meat?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely tastes like meat. It just tastes like a. It tastes like.
I think the textural difference is
a little bit, but it tastes like a fast food burger almost.
Right, and again, they are reheated, so it's not a knock on Hop Dottie's burgers, which are excellent by most tellings.
Mm-hmm.
I would still eat this.
You would still eat it.
I'd still eat this. And I would think that it was a burger.
If you just gave this to me fresh,
yeah,
mm-hmm. and it was hot and fresh, I bet I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know the difference.
And that's B?
Yeah.
That's B.
Probably the reason you wouldn't know the difference is that is the real burger.
That is the real
You're
one?
You're kidding me.
Are you serious?
B is the real burger. A is the impossible burger.
That is insane.
Isn't that insane?
That's amazing.
I'm shocked that both of you went with the wrong.
That is amazing.
Wow. Isn't that? That's incredible.
Oh, that's crazy. That's wrong. That's wrong to do that to me.
I mean, that is
I demand that plants taste like plants and animals taste like animals. I demand it. It's too confusing a world. That really is crazy.
I could go vegan
with those. Because they are freaking good, man. They taste, I mean, it's been years since I've had a hamburger because, mm-hmm. you know, this is how I eat all the time. So I was wondering if. For you to think that.
Is amazing.
Is amazing. And we had your chef was in here. He's the guy who reheated these today. And he said the same thing. When he had an impossible burger, he didn't know it was.
I mean, Stu, you know this about me. I'm mostly. Vegetarian.
Mostly vegetarian.
Mostly.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I have a little fish.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. some chicken.
Right.
And a little bit of beef. Like
right.
Roast.
And some pork.
Steak, ribs. And
a little
well,
pork.
Bacon.
A good amount of bacon.
Ham.
Ham.
Just sausage.
Right.
But there are thousands of species.
I've never eaten bear.
Never eaten bear.
Never.
Well, I've had bear.
You have had bear?
Yeah, I've had bear.
I've never had bear.
They just said there's 9 million species total in the world. What are you, 10 of them?
Maybe.
I mean, right.
Maybe 10, 15.
A very small percentage of the species. I mean, it's an impressive.
That's amazing.
It's interesting to me, though, that vegans want something that tastes like meat, because I thought that was a point to get away from meat.
Well, I mean, I think there are various types of vegans. Like, for example, our producer Marissa is a vegetarian. She does not eat these because she doesn't. She's not. It's not her desire. It depends on why you're eating vegetarian, I guess.
And I guess so.
It was never a taste issue for me, really. Maybe.
Okay,
a little
so tell
bit
me about the protein.
I would love to tell you about it.
You don't know.
I have read about it in the past. I don't know that I could quote accurately. That gives you the taste of meat.
No. I'm talking about the protein.
Oh, as far as it's much healthier than a normal burger. It's got less fat. It's got less calories. It's got more protein.
I am expecting my cows, because I have a ranch, cows. Yeah. And that's what we raise them to be. I am expecting my cows to be taking their little hooves and pushing plates of this towards me. They're like, have you tried this?
Venture capital is going into Impossible Burger. It's a bunch of cows.
So you can't buy these, though.
You can't buy them in stores hook them in your house yet. They're at 7,000 restaurants right now across the country. If you go to Red Robin, they have them. Cheesecake Factory has them. A lot of the big chains have started with them. They're about to come. The Impossible Whopper is right around the corner. 7,300 Burger Kings are about to have it as well. They are going into grocery stores later this year.
If Glenn can't tell the difference, I think that is
amazing. That's incredible.
Wild endorsement.
I am blown away by that.
Yeah. That's unreal. Yeah.
We are anti-fake food.
Yes.
We are anti-vegan stuff. We both hate vegetables.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And for that to fool... And I'm a rancher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a rancher. I breed my cattle for a certain texture and taste.
Yes.
I mean...
Amazing. It's amazing.
That's amazing.
Is this a lot less calorie-wise than meat?
I would say it's maybe 20%. 25%. It's not like a, it's not a drug, but it is better health wise for you. But it's not like a diet burger. It's like 12 calories. It's, I mean, you could tell, you can tell by eating it. It's not,
right.
It's not like it's mega not, light. It's a so good
can
burger.
Can I tell you something? This is the reason you do not force government regulation.
Yeah.
When you have something that is as good or better, I would gladly be a vegan. Mm-hmm. I would gladly not raise animals to be slaughtered for hamburgers if that was out and prevalent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to lecture me. You don't have to scare me. You just have to come up with a product through the free market that is as good. And then you'll gladly do it.
How often have we said that about wind and solar?
Yeah. Yes. My house finally is right. My house has been green from the get-go, my ranch.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't we don't have any source of electricity other than what we make. So when we started it, I was still had to have a diesel, huge diesel generator for the house that would click on at night because of, you know, the wind power and the solar would stop. And so I would still have to run generators and I would use.
Oh, you got that fixed now?
Yeah. Wow. That thing, the last time I was up there, because we put the new generation now of solar panels up and the new generation of batteries, and they're still not
that had
right.
To be pricey.
Yeah. Wow. It's very, it's still very expensive. Jeez. But my generator hasn't run in months. In months.
Really?
Yeah. It's totally green. Now,
it's
you
amazing.
Get this right. So, I mean, you again, you hate rich people. Well, it's rich people who are buying this, the next generation and the next generation.
Right.
I still hate them, though.
But to be able to get it to where it's going to be reasonable for everybody.
Yeah.
And once it's reasonable, everybody's going to have it.
Yeah.
Stop
True.
With this nonsense of government control. The free market system is fixing all of this.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting. I mean,
it is.
These companies are trying to solve this problem without going through the government.
I mean, this nice. it shows you how incredible it is and what's possible.
Hey, that is unbelievable.
No, it's impossible.
It's impossible.
That's right.
And you know what?
Impossible.
Let me tell you something.
An impossible burger.
Let me. They should call it that. You know what? What's really, truly amazing is Pat and I both said, leading up to this, it's impossible. We will know.
Yeah. I really thought you would know.
Yeah. And then we didn't.
Okay, wait. Okay, so there's two things in capitalism, two things that have happened today. And I want to show the other one. It'll probably be later in the show. But it's amazing. How many times have you looked at a concept car and you went, oh, man, they should build that? Okay.
They never do.
Mm-hmm. And when you think of the interior of a concept car, it always looks like a jet or, you know, something that you're like, whoa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I saw something today and I thought it was a concept car. And I'm like, they should build that. And then it said 2020. And I started doing my homework on it. And it's made here in America. And it is, I mean, it's honestly something you would look at and go, concept car. There's no way.
Really?
And it's out next fall. And made here in America.
Wow. It's incredible. I saw some of the cool footage of it. I mean, it is incredible.
It's incredible. So we are on the cusp of all of man's wildest dreams and on the cusp of man's most terrific nightmares. And the free market provides one. And socialism will provide the other.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. Like listening to this podcast? If you're not a subscriber, become one now on iTunes. And while you're there, do us a favor and rate the show.
Mr. Bill O'Reilly.
Yes, here I am. Hello.
So good of you to grace us with your presence today.
You know, Beck, I look forward to this all week.
Do you?
And one of the reasons is that someone
has to get you and Stu on the right path.
Well,
and I think that I've been put on earth to do that.
Well, that's one.
It's a very low calling.
It's a, yeah, it's a one reason, maybe. All right, so where do you want to start? You want to start with the battle in Congress?
Well, it's not really a battle because they're not fighting among each other. They're basically two camps in Congress. There are Republicans who want to keep the White House and the Senate and then perhaps win back the House. And the Democrats who will do anything at this point to get Trump out of office because they're not real sure they're going to defeat him in 2020. So that's the most important takeaway of all of this, is that the Democratic power structure, this is the swamp in Washington, the big money people, Hollywood, the media moguls, they're not so sure that they can take Trump because Biden is shaky.
Okay, I want to get into Biden. Hang on. I want to get into the Biden thing here in a second. Let's stay on course here for just a second with the holding Barr in contempt, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
The way I read this, Bill, and before we get into the weeds of what they're actually doing and claiming, the way I read this is a suicide note from the Democratic Party because I don't know anyone on the Democratic side in real life that is saying anything but get over it, move on.
Certainly that's the will of the people, and that's why I've made that analysis that the Democratic Party is basically gambling that they're going to finally get something impeachable. That's the goal. If they can get him into an impeachment situation, they know they're not going to convict the Senate. We'll never do that unless there's really something we don't know.
So
the Democrats just want to besmirch, word of the day, Trump, in hoping that the American people will come around to their point of view that Trump doesn't deserve to be president. Now, on the Barr thing and on the Don Jr. thing and on the Mueller thing and on the redaction, it's all the same. They want to retry the Mueller report. They want to recast
it. It's so stupid.
That's what they want to do.
I know.
And so they it's like going fishing. You put 15 lines in the water and hope you get a couple of bites.
Yeah, but
and
you've been
so maybe
you've
they
been,
can get
you've
Don
been...
Jr. on perjury, or maybe they can get Barr on perjury, or maybe Mueller will say something embarrassing they can put on a soundbite. That's what this is.
But
this
isn't it, but
doing
any
the will
fisherman,
of the people or the work of the people. In
any
Congress.
Fisherman's family would say, "Dad, stop it! We've already gone through this area of the water with nets for two
that's
years."
Right.
Stop
very
it.
Very good. I love that.
Thank you. Thank very you. Much. Thank you.
Okay,
well, I've learned at the feet of the master.
I guess that's me. but anyway, rather than getting angry, and I know many Americans are angry on both sides.
Yeah.
I'm just wrapping up the United States of Trump. The anger and the hatred toward President Trump is just, I don't think I've ever seen it in this country, ever. I'm going back to Jefferson and to Adams because that was really bad.
Yeah. Do you have the quote of
Lincoln,
the heads on the pike? You have to include this in your book. The heads on the pike, and your children will be, your daughters will be raped, and your sons will have their heads on the pike. I love that. That's what Adams said about Jefferson. I mean, if he's elected, that's what's going to happen.
But I think it's worse now because of the internet and because of social media and all that. There's no respite to it.
Yeah.
But I think Americans will basically start walking away from the coverage. And I go over this a lot, but I get the overnight ratings for cable every day. CNN, they don't have one show now cracking a million viewers. Not one.
Try this stat on. I did a special on Blaze.com. We had more viewers.
You should get Blaze.com.
Blaze TV.
Thank you.
BlazeTV.com. I did a special, what was it, last week on socialism. Bill, we had higher ratings on that. More people watched that than were watching primetime CNN. Mm. That's online. That's how much things have changed.
And even Donald Trump, when he gave his speech, Fox News carried the whole speech in Panama City. They didn't do that well. Not what Trump usually did. So I think people are, look, summer's coming, living is easy, all that. You know, people go, you know, I had enough of this. And that's why I say to people, don't get caught up in the bar and Don Jr. and all of this, because it's not going to really mean anything unless something new comes out.
All right, so now let's switch to Biden. Biden's numbers are astonishing. When you have 22 people in the field and all of these people that are socialist and running right towards the hardcore left, here comes Biden, who is, I don't think, a great candidate. Nobody's chomping at the bit for Joe Biden that I know of. And he throws in, and he is anywhere from 21 points to 39 points ahead of the entire Democratic field. To me, that says there is a thirst and a deep hunger in the Democrats, in the voting base, for anything other than these socialist kooks.
Well, first of all, the Beck audience should go to realclearpolitics.com if they want to see the polling themselves. Realclearpolitics.com does an average of the polls, because you can't believe one or the other polls.
Sure.
Most of these polls don't know what they're doing. Now, Vice President Biden is a formidable candidate, and I don't think anybody should underestimate that, because he's going to have the media in his pocket, and he's going to have at least $600 or $700 million to spend on his campaign. So just the combination of the two make him, don't dismiss him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he's been around forever. He knows everybody. He's got all kinds of things going for him as far as organization. He's got the entire Obama local organization in all the states at his disposal. This guy, you know, it's not going to be, well, Trump's going to romp over him. It's not
going to
be close.
Right.
But as far as his competition is concerned, there is none. These people who are running out there are basically running to write books and to get lecture fees. Okay, that's what they're running for. None of them can win. They all know they can't win, including Bernie Sanders, who doesn't even look like he wants to win anymore. Have you seen him lately? And nobody's showing up to hear him. He knows that it's over already. Now, it's possible, I guess, that one of them might capture Iowa, some votes there, some votes in New Hampshire, because in the early voting, the extremists dominate, particularly in Iowa caucus. It's possible one of them might pop up. But in the long run, there's nobody going to beat Biden. And I said this 6 months ago. And living up to my name, what did you call me? The Master Yoda or something? I don't know. But anyway,
no,
living
I don't
up
recall
to that,
that
title.
We were talking about your funny ears, but
okay. So, any astute political observer knows that the field the Democrats have put out is not going to beat Biden unless Biden collapses. You know, he's 76 years old, so anything could happen, but it's Biden's to lose.
Okay, so
unless Michelle gets in now. I always have that Michelle Obama thing in the back of my mind.
Happen. It's not going to happen.
Okay, I mean, I don't think so either, but she'd win.
All right, so she would step in, I think, if Biden implodes.
Yeah, if like a scandal brought him down, in between the convention and the election, maybe something really drastic, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
I could totally see her step
draft
in.
Her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So when we come back, I want to stop one more place with Joe Biden, and that is China and Ukraine. Things that the left is completely dismissing, but it is a gigantic scandal that makes him Hillary Clinton pardieu with graft and scandal and dirty money. So, Bill.
Yes.
I called Bill. I've wanted to do this for a long time, and I've talked about doing it for a long time. And finally, we've just pulled the trigger on it. And history is really important. And people are, you know, they'll go on vacation and you'll take your kids to Disney and you'll spend a fortune. And what you'll do is you'll come back with a bunch of crap and you'll kind of be pissed off. And it will be a good memory and everything else. But you really haven't really done anything where you're strengthening your family, per se. So what we've done is we're going to do a cruise through history, we're inviting you to take your family, take your kids or your grandkids, or just come as a couple. We're going to begin our journey in Venice. You're going to learn the history of the Renaissance. You're going to learn the history of the Republic as we stop in Athens. We're going to go to Croatia, and then we are stopping. Our final stop will be in Israel, and Bill O'Reilly will be joining me, as well as Rabbi Daniel Lappin. There's nothing like learning about Israel and the roots of our religion with Daniel Lappin. David Barton will be there. Stu will be there, and I will be on the cruise the whole time. And we can't wait for you to join us. It is happening next spring, and Bill is you're joining us in Israel, are you not, Bill?
I think I'm gonna hop on board in Dubrovnik in Croatia.
Ah, very cool.
I've been there. It's so beautiful. I mean, it's an amazing itinerary that you've laid out. Now, I had to ask for a cabin away from Beck because he gets seasick.
But I'll need somebody to hold me, Bill.
It's not because he is face painting. But I'm going to jump on in Croatia, I think, and we're going to do a couple of events, and it should be a lot of fun.
And we're going to be at Caesarea. Stu, you didn't go to Restoring Courage, but do you remember the first night event we did,
mm-hmm.
where Paul was actually brought to justice, if you will? And that is the same place we're going to be doing it. We're going to be doing an event there as well. So we want you to find out all about it and join us on this cruise. Again, it happens next spring. And you can find out all of the information at comesailaway.com, comesailaway.com, and join us for a cruise through history, one where everyone will have a blast, see incredible things, but also learn about the Republic and our faith and our freedom. That's next season. comesailaway.com. Thanks so much, Bill. Talk to you again.
This is the Best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Dan Andros, a guy who started with me in 2000.
Well, it was actually 1999. We remember we were all together for the big Y2K switch scare.
Yeah, that's right.
We were all wondering if we were going to explode.
That's right.
Planes fell out of the sky, right? I remember that. That was when planes fell out of the sky, and the world
awful.
Basically ended.
Yeah, it was awful.
it was awful.
It was awful.
Now over at FaithWire, faithwire.com, if you'd like to get some news about faith with an anchor.
Yes.
In something that's actually real. Yes. We love FaithWire, and you guys are going to be working on you went to Israel last year.
Correct.
We have the big special next week coming out with your visit with Jason Buttrell from this staff as well for the moving of the embassy, a pretty historic moment.
Turned into something, Dan, that you thought that, I mean, it turned into something entirely different.
Yeah, I mean, we were there to mark that occasion where, you know, every president pretty much for as far back as we can remember in modern history was promising to do this, and none of them did it. And to Trump's credit, he did it. He got it done, and he actually had the courage to do it. And we got to witness firsthand sort of how the media concocts a narrative on Israel. I mean, we saw it just the other day. It was, hey, Israel has shot back at Gaza, and that's when they pick up the story. It's not the hundreds of rockets that just got shot randomly into those southern cities in Israel before that.
So that's why you're in town. But there's something else that you guys are covering today, and that's a big pro-life rally in Philadelphia.
Right.
How big is this?
Yeah, the crowds are good. I haven't looked at. We have a live feed going in. I've been taping our special, so I haven't actually seen the crowds. But
pretty
from
big,
from the reports, it looks like there's a lot of people there. Matt Walsh had actually been the first to tweet it out, because if did you guys see the story of Brian Sims, a Democratic rep from Pennsylvania, who went on tape? And you know what it reminded me of? He was berating a pro-lifer out there, an elderly woman who was just out there alone, and she was out there praying for the, you know, butchery that was going inside Planned Parenthood, hoping that hearts and minds would change.
And some thick teenagers, too, he was berating.
And that was in a separate video, yeah. And he was trying to dox them. He was asking 100 people $100 he'd give them if someone knew these people's names and addresses and would give
imagine
them out.
Imagine doing that to teenage girls.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and this is an elected... This is an elected...
Official.
And so he was on camera doing that, and so Matt Walsh tweeted it out and said, hey, we should go and go to this place. And so that's what's happening there today, and we're live streaming it on faithwire.com.
Faithwire's there. Our own Graham Allen is yep. there as mm-hmm. well. Abby Johnson from the movie Unplanned is her story. She's there. Lila Rose is there. I mean, it's turned into a big thing, and thank God that there's still people out there reacting to a video which was blatant harassment
yeah.
of elderly people and teenagers who are praying.
You imagine?
It's just a slip so far.
You as an adult male say, I'll give people $100 if you can identify these people and tell me where they live. For what purpose?
Yeah.
For what purpose?
Well, and it's against the exact same. He was sitting there saying they're shaming people. They're shaming people for who go in there. And it's like, that's what you're doing. What a woman like that was doing and what those kids were doing. I've watched countless hours of these protesters, these Christians that are out in front of Planned Parenthood and other pro-lifers as well. And not once have I seen them out there being brutal and shaming them yeah. and yelling at them. No, they're pleading with them. They want to save the lives of these children that are going in
I
there.
Have seen,
seen
I've
it.
Seen I've seen people shaming, baby killer, things like that. I have seen that. But I think that's changing. I think that was 20 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Now people are just much cooler about it.
Yeah.
And they really are. I mean, that's the way to do it. You're not going to change anyone's heart by calling them a baby killer.
Right. And could it be possible that, because I now that you mentioned it, I can remember seeing some of those clips back in the day too. Is it possible that that's just what the media chose to show us?
Yeah.
Like, yes,
they chose to show us that instead of, I mean, we had a report on a guy who has stood out in front of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Orlando for I think almost a decade now, and they've credited over 2,000 babies saved because of this guy. And he's a simple guy, and all he does is go out there and preach the gospel to these women going in. You know, hey, God doesn't want you to do this. Come talk to me. I want to show you this. And God's word changes their hearts.
Yeah, because usually it's a tough decision, right? I mean, you're going in there. If you've decided you're going to go abort your child, it's
hey,
a big decision in your life. You're scared. The best perspective on this, I thought, was Abby Johnson when she was in here talking to us. And she said, because in the movie, if you haven't seen Unplanned, anyone who hasn't seen it, there's a scene right at the beginning where there are some of these protesters, and one guy's dressed as a Grim Reaper, and he's screaming at the yeah. women as they come in, and you could say, well, I would, because I'm sure I'm on the same side of the argument, generally speaking, a pro-life side, but the approach is so interesting, and she mentioned it, I thought was really interesting, because she was a Planned Parenthood clinic director, and she was on the other side of it, and she said what that dynamic creates is a place where the woman or the clinic worker comes out to the car and meets the woman, and the woman who is making this decision feels that that the Planned Parenthood worker is the one providing the safe space.
Mm.
She's the one who's giving protection. She's the one helping her. So in that moment, the person who's helping her is actually the Planned Parenthood worker who's protecting her from yeah. these crazy people outside the walls. And it actually causes people to go in more often.
It's like looking at Mengele when you got off the train. As he's the guy who's going to help you.
Mm.
No, yeah. no, he's going to do medical things to you that you're not going to like.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you, I am convinced, I mean, if you are not convinced that what we are witnessing is not a political battle as far as abortion goes, but it is a battle of between good and evil and between against the
Dan, almost everything is now.
Spiritual yeah. forces of wickedness.
Yeah.
That is what we're seeing. Do you remember the video of the guy, the abortion doctor a couple years ago, and he was growling at the guy with the camera out there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was like there was a demon in him. I mean, there was a demon in him. I'm just convinced now that he wasn't joking around or trying to be funny. That guy had evil in him. And I just don't know how you can boil down this issue to anything else when the science keeps, the more we have technology, the more we see We can detect the heartbeat so early. That's what the Georgia bill was just passed.
And we're not even arguing what we used to argue. Hmm. We used to argue with compassion, and it was, well, you want to do that to your daughter? You want your daughter? And so they would trap you in this little pocket of compassion where most people are like, no, I don't want to even think about this.
Yeah.
But we're not even talking about that now. No. We're talking about 5 minutes before birth.
Yeah.
And they can't bring themselves
to say it's a child.
To say it's a child, I mean, to go against the sacred cow.
Audio, when was it, from CNN,
yeah, Chris
I
Cuomo.
Think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where the woman said to Rick Santorum, that's not a baby inside of her.
What is it?
Is there anyone who actually... Then why do we have baby showers?
Right. Or baby bump. Yeah. What's your baby bump? That's the fetus bump. No one says it's the fetus bump.
Yeah. And by the way, fetus, they're like, oh, that's a fetus in there. Did you know what fetus is? It's Latin for offspring. It's,
yeah.
It's the Latin word for baby.
Yeah.
It's a baby. That's not some magical scientific word that means clump of cells.
Right.
It means child.
Yeah. And I was talking to a pro-choice guy the other day, and we were talking about the line, right? Like, we would say, I think I'll hear that, you know, conception's the line. And we're now talking about, no, it's passing the birth canal and maybe beyond that is the line. And, you know, I think there used to be a position where it was, maybe it was viability, right? Like the baby can live on its own, mm-hmm. which is around, you know, 22, 23, 24 weeks, or if it's cognitive ability. And there are all these different lines that we used to talk about. And you think about those things, it, like, you know, they talk about cognitive ability might be around 12 weeks where that starts to begin. And it's like, that is a conservative dream right now. Like, these people who think of themselves as pro-choice are advocating positions that are way to the right to where we are, mm-hmm. from where we are. These are massive conservative moves. These are, I mean, Republicans have problems getting 20-week bans passed, let alone 12 weeks. These are people who are telling me they are pro-choice and saying, well, not after the first trimester, obviously. Like, wait a minute. Oh, let's go back to that Roe versus Wade standard because it's quaint. Compared to where we are now, mm-hmm. we're talking about, we have on this board to my left are 22 different candidates running for the Democratic nomination. They can't find one of them to say that abortion 5 minutes before birth is wrong. They can't find one of them to say that.
Yeah,
that is fascinating to me.
Think of the lack of moral courage you have to have or not have. To not be able to stand up to that. And I'm looking for one. I would love to just have one. Where is the Democrat who is willing to buck that platform right now? Because they are obviously afraid of that constituency that just loves to just champion that abortion.
So let me just give you some headlines. If you don't think that we are in a battle of just... the biggest change, just leave it at that, good and evil, or just the biggest change a culture maybe has ever seen. Listen to these. College faculty chair compares Chick-fil-A to pornography as the academic senate votes to kick the restaurant off of campus.
Is it possible they're just talking about the chicken is too tasty? Yeah. And it's like maybe. Porn, right? Mm-hmm.
Second Colorado shooting suspect is a transgender girl who identifies as a boy. Converse announces a new partnership. Converse, a new partnership with an 11-year-old child. That child, you know, because they are famous for dressing in drag and dancing in gay nightclubs. Converse. Converse, I was too controversial for Converse. Remember, Converse never made a special shoe for me. I made Converse very, very famous again back in, 2008 and 2010. That was a big deal, was my Converse.
I remember that, yeah.
I was way too controversial. An 11-year-old child who is famous for dressing in drag and dancing in gay nightclubs is their new partner.
Is this the one that there's footage of the men in the club coming up and throwing dollars at him?
Yes. He's the one that went on Good Morning America, and there was that clip with Strahan. And the kid comes out, and and Good Morning America, I mean, that's like family-friendly, allegedly. And this kid is 11, and he comes out, and he's making all these sexual moves on the floor, and everyone's cheering.
It's sick.
What?
It's sick.
Earth.
How about this one? Parents say, these are just today's headlines, by the way. Parents say a second grade teacher tried to convince their son, 8, that he was transgendered. Parents say he feels different now. He's confused.
Jeez.
This is the beginning of the fundamental transformation of America. Mm. This next election completes it. It completes it. We either say, I've had enough of this, or we embrace it. But this next election, if we embrace it, it completes it. This is who we are. Thanks, Dan. And we'll see you tonight on the News and Why It Matters.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, great. And you'll be here next week, too, because we have a special with Israel. We'll tell you more about that coming up.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.